is Friday morning here on WGH Talk. Friday, Getaway Friday, Friday, September the 8th, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour. Time for Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself. And it's always a fun show. We had an episode Wednesday that we're going to follow up on this morning. But this show can be heard live every Friday morning here at 9:15 to 10 a.m. Repeats on Sunday morning, 8:15 to 9 a.m. And Wednesday and Thursday, 3:15 to 4 p.m. And you can get it on the website, WWGH1071.com. Program archives, it's the first show under there. Go to Facebook. It is usually up there within 24 hours, thanks to Adam. We appreciate that. Pastor Whitaker, here we are on another Friday in the month of September. Rainy, and I think the fall weather is to autumn. It's starting to come
autumn.
In.
Autumn is starting. Yes, yeah. It is. I'm kind of ready for it in a way. You know, you might as well accept it once it's here.
Yeah, it's. I looked at the extended forecast, and we're in the 70s, so I think that's probably it.
Yeah, that we're like the Brits have the changing of the guard. At church, we have the changing of the flowers. I've got to pull all the summer flowers out, and we got to put the mums in. So I guess that's going to get done this week. Anyway, it's great to be here this morning. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And would love to have you there sometime. Scott, it's been a good week. It's been a busy week for me. And everyone, I kind of missed Labor Day. And Labor Day was, I labored a little bit at home, to be honest with you. But it just kind of came and went.
You know, I always wonder about Labor Day. As most people know, I had the cookout. But it's the only holiday, I really believe, because of its name, that people have no idea what it means. The only holiday that you get off work, school, and the banks close and the mail doesn't run. Every other one, people know. This one, they don't.
And you think with the name labor in
you would
it,
think.
They might realize that it's to honor people that labor, and they give them a day off from laboring. But I don't know.
It was originally instituted because of the labor unions and getting the 40-hour work week and the 5-day-a-week work week. And I don't know why that's so hard to comprehend. I don't know if it's – I don't know. It's strange to me that that's the only holiday, and they don't, and it's never mentioned either. They're on Labor Day. You will see very few news programs.
But it doesn't. There's nothing that you know. There's always a group of people like the Irish and St. Patrick's Day, or you know, other holidays. There's always icons, or there's some type of a word am I looking for? Like a mascot or something that'll go with that holiday. In many cases, Uncle Sam.
Yeah, well, it's strange to me because Memorial Day for many years was kind of an amorphous holiday. People went to the cemeteries, but people really didn't have a good meaning behind it. And now we've almost given it Veterans Day's meaning, which I'm not really sure why that happened.
I'm not so sure either. I know Veterans Day is to honor veterans, live and dead.
Yeah.
And Memorial Day is now the to honor veterans. The original first Memorial Day without being named a national holiday was actually done by African Americans, and they actually went out and buried some of the Civil War dead because of their appreciation for what they had done to lose their lives to set them free, and we kind of miss out on that. But one thing Memorial Day always was too was we used to call it Flag Day. Remember that? Flag Day, because everyone put flags in the cemetery. And it was also called, there's a third one, this should be a trivia one. There's Memorial Day, this same day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, and there's one more.
Remembrance Day?
Nope. Decoration Day.
Oh.
Well, that's right.
Decoration Day, because everyone decorated the graves on that day of their family members, those that were gone. And I remember on Decoration Day, you go by a cemetery, and they were just packed with people. I'll tell you how times have changed, though. I still do that, as a matter of fact. I do that at my parents and my wife's parents, and sometimes once in a great while, some of my grandparents. But nobody, other than people my age and older, seem to be at the cemeteries anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, and I have to cop to this that I try to go about that time. But I don't decorate anymore. I tried to keep that up. And my mom still does it, so it's not like it's not being done for the people clearly we have in common. But what happened is every cemetery, and there are two primary ones that I would go to here in the Marion County area, have such strict rules about what you can do. I'm not going to go plant flowers because I know
the weed eater gets
you. Yeah, it's
later.
Over. And they won't let you put the I wish if you don't want fake flowers on the thing, just leave them there through Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's it. But they won't.
Well, the other thing is they because of the mowing, they don't want to. You ever see these guys mow cemeteries anymore? They fly through them like Grant took Richmond.
Well, there's so many grave markers that are damaged.
Oh, I know. My matter of fact, I just my wife's had a lot. Her parents had lost my wife's sister when she was a few days old, and she had a gravestone with a lamb on it, and it's been there for 70 years. But anyway. They hit it, knocked it off, and broke one of the ears off of it, just left it. And I took it home and put a new ear on it, redid it, repainted it, and put it back on the, went with epoxy and put it back on the headstone a few weeks ago. But like her dad's headstone is twisted from being hit. I mean, man, where's the respect?
Well, and that's why if you're going to get upset as the caretaker of the cemetery that there's fake flowers out there, but you don't care that people are bumping into tombstones who are working for you?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to change that rule. And again, I understand they lose color, and I understand they fall over, and I understand they're hard to mow around. Just till Tuesday. That's all you got to do. Leave them there Friday to Tuesday. That's it.
Well, I mean, a lot of and the rules are never clear either. I know some cemeteries where people have nice plantings around the mm-hmm. headstone, and then you go, I'll go plant something in the same cemetery around my parents, and they come by and mow it a week later.
Oh, and that's, yeah.
And mow them right down. It's like, well, what are you doing here? Now, I will say that where my wife's parents are in Alton Cemetery, which is on the far west side of Franklin County, we plant there and perennials, and they come up, and it's up to us to thin them and everything, which is nice. But you know, I guess we're getting back to, we're kind of going down a weird road here. But is honoring people and remembering people, and we just seem to be a throwaway society, even when it comes to our memories and our ancestry anymore.
Last Friday night, after we did the Friday night show, I had the two younger kids in here, Matt, 19, and Carrington, 22, and I was having a conversation with them. Now, this happened off the air, and I always said, I was saying to them, I don't understand why we wait till a funeral or a retirement party to honor somebody, because, you know, I hope they're hearing it, but I'd like to see their reaction, because in their life, most of the time, I bet they had no idea you felt that way. And had no idea that you cared. And I wish we did more. I try very hard to do that. And it is hard. Because sometimes people will be shocked that you're even doing it. Because 90% of the public does not do it.
Yeah.
You don't walk up to somebody and say, you know what, you're doing a really good job. You're a really good friend.
But I can tell you something though, Scott. When you do that, it makes somebody feel really good. Why don't we want to make more people happy?
Or embarrassed. People get embarrassed by it.
Well, embarrassment's fine, but they're still happy. You can be embarrassed to be happy at the same time.
I hope so.
Because I get embarrassed. I'm the subject will go... I could go way out on that one. But anyway, being kind to people, it is not that difficult to do.
You know what's sad to me? The reason I brought up that I was with the young people on that is because they almost see it when an older person does it. Not so much the males, but the females. They see it as an odd thing. Now, I think this is because there is no nice quality complimenting going on in their generation. So they have no idea how to take it.
Yeah, it's very possible. That's true. I think that in general, you know, another thing that you know, you mentioned when people die and you know, not do. One thing I noticed as a pastor is that a lot of people don't even think about death or life after death until someone does die. And that's the only time they think about it. And so many times, you know, people say, you know, I really need to... get back in church. I really need a relationship with God. And 2 weeks after the funeral, they forgot all about that, and they're back on the run again. And I really wish that people would realize that how much better their lives would be if they did realize their need for a Savior. But anyway, back to being nice. We ended the show Wednesday with me making the statement that, and it was a follow-up from what we've been talking about, the fact that school teachers today are almost scared to call a parent to tell them little Johnny's been doing something because 80%+ of the time they're going to get cussed out. And what's really crazy about that is mom and dad know that little Johnny's a monster. And they still cuss out the teacher. In our generation, if I know that if I got in trouble at school, I got it twice as hard when I got home. Mm-hmm. And there doesn't seem to be that reinforcement. Don't touch my kid. Don't talk to my kid. Don't tell my kid. Well, the kid hears that, and it makes it almost impossible for the teacher to manage the classroom. Teaching used to be teaching. It used to be mentoring. It used to be one of those greater good jobs. I think it still is. As I consider, there's several jobs that I call good jobs for the greater good of people and humanity. You know, a lot of them would be in social work or certainly a police officer or a pastor even. Teachers today, they have to be social workers. They got to be. Give the kids, some kids, the only discipline they'll ever see. Unfortunately, in many cases, teachers give the students the only love they see. And I know stories from my personal experience and being in this situation that would rip your guts out and rip your heart out. That they were rarities years ago. They were rarities. We had one school, there was a family, and this was years ago and in a faraway land, so I don't have to worry about the names. But
I don't know if this might be an on-air call. Would you like to take this call? Mm-hmm. You're on the air. Go ahead.
What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about teachers and do they get the respect that they deserve?
Well, I'm not really sure about that. I mean, they don't get paid very well for the most part.
I do know
that much.
Well, Pastor Whitaker, give the point again you made to our caller here about teachers.
Yeah, the point that I made was that teachers, beyond just teaching today, they have to be the social worker, the disciplinarian, the person that shows the kid love. A lot of these kids come to school with far greater needs than they used to at one point, and it makes the job very difficult for them. Did you hear that?
Any thoughts on
that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Unfortunately, I cannot hear a thing about what he said. I can hear you. I can't hear him. So can you tell me what he said?
Well, basically, teachers are not getting the respect that they need anymore, and they're doing a lot of different jobs, not just teaching, social working, so on, a lot of positions.
Well, let me just say this. I don't know if it's true or not. I've heard it said several times. But the district needs to provide the basic tools that the children need to sit there and learn. It shouldn't be up to the teacher to have to buy it.
Well, it's tough. And maybe as levies and bond issues go along, we'll see something like that.
Well, I suppose, but I mean, as I understand it, the bond issues are going along pretty strongly, at least the renewals anyway.
I don't think recently. Can you hear Pastor Whitaker now?
Yeah, I think you can. Can't you?
I can hear you now.
There we go.
Okay. No, they're not passing the best, but I'll tell you that I think that the problem the teachers are running into with their job description changing so much has very little to do with funding and has everything to do with society and our social situation that we're in at homes and in families. We don't have the core strength of the family that we had. We don't have the parents in many cases don't support the teachers the way they used to, and it just makes it difficult. But that's kind of the direction we were going with this. And you know, Scott, I think that as parents, we can do our kids a wonderful service if we say, you know what, the teacher wouldn't call me if there wasn't a problem, and address that problem and understand, you know, have a little compassion for the situation the teacher's in. Now, the teacher's not right every time, and I think you should defend your children when they need defended. But I think that when your kids, you don't just automatically turn on the teacher every time you get a phone call, or, you know, kids will play you. I raised four of them, I know. And everyone I know that raised kids will tell you, kids know when they can get that edge. Especially, you know, sometimes in blended families, you know, they play one, well, parent, they do it in non-blended families. They play one parent against the other, and or the brother, the sister, you know. That's just the way kids are going to be. It's part of that growing process. But I think that we have to have a little more show a bit, a little more respect, and most of all, compassion. Why in the world would you cuss somebody out over the phone, a school teacher? What? That's insanity.
I know. It's certainly not something that should happen. Hey, thanks, caller. All right. And again, if anybody has an opinion, they can call in 740-383-9944. Now, what I have noticed as a teacher for a while now, it's not so much because they do know that the kid is acting up, or why would they be there for this conference that you're having, usually not during regular parent-teacher conferences. But what happens is, sometimes it's not even both of the parents, it's just one of them. But they take it as a shot on them that they are not good parents.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I have to... I'll be honest with you. I think that a lot of times they're not good parents.
But they don't want to hear you telling them
that.
Well,
I know that, but what I'm saying is, you know, when your kid, when your child is continually having this problem, and sometimes, you know, first of all, there are strong-willed children. We know that. Kids that are very strong-willed, and it doesn't matter how good of a parent you are, there's going to be issues at school. There's just, you know, you've got to work through those and handle them sometimes differently than a child that's not, well, always differently. But I think that in a lot of cases, sometimes if you feel guilty, there's a reason. And I think you need to look at that and look at how much time am I, why is this child acting out? Why do I need to spend more time with them? Who am I allowing them to associate with? What families are they spending more time with than they shouldn't? That's a huge one I've seen.
The first year I was teaching, and this is why this hit so heavy with me, the first year I was teaching, now this is in an elementary school, I believe, if I remember right, but it was right on the cusp, like fifth or sixth grade. And all year I had been there, and it was very clear that this student either had a learning disability, and we'd had the professionals come in to test that,
yeah,
and was not ready to go in the next grade at all, was not ready to go in the next grade. So right before the school year ended, IEP is what it was called, we brought the IEP specialist in, we brought the principal in, I was in on the meeting. Both parents, mother and father, showed up, and we had this meeting, and basically it was something, maybe your kid needs some extra help, and also we do not think he should go on to the next grade. Now, the mother was okay. She did not seem to have huge problems with this. The father said he just would rather be outside. That's why he's not doing any of this, and we're not going to leave him behind because he won't be with his friends anymore, and that'll be detrimental to him. And that was it, and we were all wrong, and ultimately they do have the say.
Well, ultimately they do, and but you've touched on something that I want to elaborate on just for a second that is a problem in our educational system, truly is. And I'm not sure in our current way that our educational system is set up, how we handle it, but it is something we need to address. Little boys and little girls are completely different, and little boys need to expel energy. That's how they grow. That's how their minds develop. They have a go button that needs, they don't sit as long. They don't have the attention span that little girls do. And a lot of times, part of our problem with our little boys a lot of times is we're expecting them to sit and be good little boys and mind their business for too long a period of time. And sometimes it is true they do. They do need more time, but how do you do that? I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that you know, little boys were not designed to sit in a classroom for 4 hours in a day, and
well, but I mean, I think we take that into account because in a class of 25, you got 13 other boys, and they're not having the issues that this one boy
right,
is
right.
having.
Yeah, that's true. Well, some are worse than others, I would suppose. But I think that all in all, boys need to have that time. But you're going to have that strong-willed child. You're going to have that child with a learning disability. And I guess it depends on what school you're in, whether the parents have the final say-so or not. Because I know that in a lot of schools, that would not have been the case. They would have said, no, we're holding him back.
Well, you know what happens now, though, and it happened a great deal during the pandemic, is people are homeschooling their kids. And as a teacher, this is the only thing I don't like about this. And I think I had this conversation. I think we talked about this Monday, a matter of fact, at the Labor Day cookout. Because a lot of times they'll throw the statistics up that a lot of times homeschool kids score better on tests than school children.
Right.
Well, of course they do. Because, number one, it's one-on-one. Number two, it's whenever you can find the time to do it. If you do it at 9 o'clock at night, that's fine. In school, a teacher has the day. We have 7 hours, and there are breaks in those hours. And also, it's not one-on-one, it's 25-on-1.
Exactly. But if a parent can afford that time and has that ability, it's a great thing for that student, especially being the fact that the student can also still participate in extracurricular activities, which they do. And I would encourage any parent that is homeschooling to make sure they're still doing that stuff and getting out. And honestly, most of the homeschoolers I know right now, it's not just them and their child. Most of them are part of a homeschool hub of some type, and they have a place to go either 1 or 2 days a week for a few hours, and you have different people that can mentor in areas that another one will struggle in. So those are good, but I don't think it's one over the other. I think it just has to be whatever your preference is.
You know the thing about it, though, that is a little off-putting to me, because teaching is still a profession that you have to have. You cannot get a job if you're just a high school graduate as a full-time teacher. Now, in this instant, what we are saying is that you can have a high school diploma and teach your own kid, do the same job I'm doing with a bachelor's degree in education. Now, there is no other field like that.
Yeah, there's a difference. The difference is the parents not getting paid, you are.
Right, but we would not let somebody go in and be their own lawyer. We'd say you have a fool for a client.
Well, you can say that, but the truth of the matter is, it's the parent that is the parent. The job of raising a child is the parent's job first, not the teacher's.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the parent's. And the parent should have that right to if they're capable. Look, if your kids are meeting their mark on their tests, obviously someone's doing a good job.
Well, here's the thing about the standardized testing, though. I don't know what homeschoolers that go on to college. Now, you cannot be in a certain academic prep course. And I've been in these academic prep courses, college prep courses is what we've called them for a long time. You know what? Most of the parents can't even help their kids with their homework. Now, how in the world could they be teaching them that stuff?
Well, because, quite frankly, homeschool parents, as they go along, it's really nice because they learn themselves as they go. And I think that there is more of that time. And like I said, in a lot of these courses, most of these parents go to homeschool hubs where there is someone that's fluent in one of those things or the other. And many of them do have teaching backgrounds. I personally know of a teacher right now, excellent teacher. She's been in the Marion school system. She was in another school system for a long time. And because of some of the direction in education, she decided to take early retirement a couple years ago. Her kids were getting into the middle school age, and she decided to homeschool them because she said, I'll do a better job at home than they're going to get at school. And now, she is a trained teacher, and there are plenty of those. But the thing is, Scott, that, you know, in our teaching system, I mean, you can get a bachelor's degree, and I've known plenty of teachers like this, and I'm sure you have too, that will get that degree, they'll get that, but they have no business teaching kids.
Oh, absolutely. Let's take the call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I think if a parent's going to homeschool a child, they ought to have to take a test.
A homeschool parent should have to take a test to teach their child?
Yeah, they should. You know, they should have some knowledge. You know, maybe not take a full-blown, you know, that they know as much as a teacher would, but I mean, you know, you're not going to learn too much if the teacher doesn't know a little bit more than you.
What do you mean, Pastor Whitaker?
I can only tell you from my experience of being around both sides of it all the time. And what I can say is that the majority of homeschool kids are excelling in homeschooling, and someone's doing something right. The other thing is, understand that the curriculums that are available now, just because they're homeschooling doesn't mean they have a program that the parent doesn't come up with the program. They're all in different programs, and a lot of them are
right. They do it on a computer.
They're doing online academies and those kind of things, and they actually do have teachers they can converse back and forth with questions. But as far as homeschooling is, there's going to be those parents that have no business homeschooling. We know that. We have kids that fail in public school. We have kids that fail at home. That's why they have the testing, where they have the step testing to see where those kids are at. And those kids need to be meeting those marks. And they do. And if they don't, they need to... I'll give you an example. I know a family that tried homeschooling for a year, and their kids were not doing well, and they didn't think it was all... they couldn't. And they sent them back to public school.
That's good. Hopefully most people are that self-aware. Hey, I think it was a good point you'd be made. Thank you, caller.
Very good point.
All right, and again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. The problem is, like I said, do what you want. If you want to homeschool your kid, that's good, and if they excel, great. I don't think anybody wants any kid to fail, no matter what they're doing. I just think the problem ultimately becomes that we need to change then how we're doing this, because if the truth is that one-on-one is what we want, we got to find a better way to do that, because it's not going to happen in a public school.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I understand where this problem, part of it's coming in at, is that, you know, if you go back 20 or 30 years, even 20 or 30 years, 40, 50 years, as kids, you may have had 25 kids in your classroom, but you have 25 kids that had discipline at home, that were going home, and their parents told them they got to get their homework done. You had 25 kids that their parents were saying, you will listen to the teacher, and the teacher could teach 25 kids. Now you've got 25 kids in the classroom, and half of them have had no discipline.
Well, and herein lies the homeschooling issue, and we're circling back to where the beginning was of this conversation, and it is, if mom or dad is at home homeschooling their kid one-on-one, they're not going to put up with the kid's shenanigans. In my classroom of 25, if some kid is giving me shenanigans, I have to call the parent, and the parent's going to say, not Johnny.
Right, exactly.
So what do you want?
So, you know, the truth is, look, we have the right to decide what we're going to, you know, we look at the Amish people, you know, their kids go to eighth grade, and they managed to do just fine. And I just, one thing we have to think about, I do a thing called Pizza with Pastor. It's twice a month in the evening, and teenagers from 6th grade to 12th grade, they come in and we order pizza, and we sit around and talk about pertinent issues of the day, and at school, and how they relate biblically, and it's just a great one-on-one time, or one-on-30 time, or whatever it is. But anyway, I asked him a question one day. I said, I want you guys to write down on a piece of paper, what percentage of your life do you think that the government should, or the government has the right to have control of? What percentage of your life? The average was about 60. Some kids said 30, some kids said 40, some kids said 90. The truth of the matter is, the government has no right to have any control of your life. But we've conditioned our young people and our society to think they do. That's why we always go back to these things is, well, I think so-and-so should have to take a test, or I think the government should have to prove this, and they should have to be licensed to do that. Somewhere along the line, there's got to be common sense, and where we get away from some of this stuff. Because quite frankly, we have one of the worst, what are we, number 30th in the world in education?
You know, it's ironic you bring this up, because this is almost... The other night we were doing a program here, and we have not done this topic on the air, but and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I think there's a quote in here that's fascinating, because it's almost with what you just said. And we've known that, just to give everybody the background here, we've seen Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader, freeze up twice. And yeah, I hope his health is okay. I want it to be okay. The doctor says there's no strokes, seizures, or...
He should go.
Parkinson's, but then he has dehydration regardless. But Nikki Haley, who's running for president, and if you like her or don't like her, who cares? She's running for on the Republican ticket. Now, she made a quote after this happened. He froze up again. Now, here's the quote that pertains to what we're talking about here. The Senate is the most privileged nursing home in the country. Mm-hmm. And she said, mental competency tests should be given to anybody over the age of 75.
Now, that's what we're talking about here. But what she was talking about was in the Senate, not across the board. She wasn't talking about countrywide.
That's what she said. Maybe it was just the Senate.
Yeah, I'm sure she
I'd rather have a mentally competent test given to a doctor than somebody in the Senate, but...
But no, absolutely not. What right does anyone to have to give any citizen a mental competency? Now, if you are in a job... And it's an important job, and you want to keep that job, and they say that you, such as in the Senate, or in the medical field, or an engineer, or in biotech, and they say, you know what, once you reach this age, there's going to be some competency tests to make sure that you're not. Why not? That's for your job. It's just like employers can do that, but the government has no right to tell us as citizens that anyone needs a mental health.
Here was my
not the government.
Well, here was my problem with these two quotes. The first one is, yes, there are some very old senators who have been there a long time, but there are also a lot of young senators. We've got younger senators in Ohio.
We have some senators that are young that are not competent at all.
Right, and this is the point. But here's the other thing about this over 75. Let's say we are just talking about the Senate, and let's throw it to the Congress. Let's say anybody in government. The problem I have with this, as opposed to a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher, if you want to give them competency tests because of age, whatever floats your boat. But government officials, here's the problem. You vote for them. Don't vote for them if you think they're nuts.
Exactly.
So why give them a competency test? There's the problem.
That takes the competency test away.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, when you get someone as old as Mitch McConnell, you know, the Republican voters, his constituents, they need to look and say, you know what, it's time for you to go, Mitch.
I bet you if he runs, he'll win again.
I bet you he won't.
I bet you he won't. If he doesn't win, I don't think anybody will primary him in his state. And if he's not primaried, he'll win.
No, they're not going to get a Democrat. I disagree. We'll do a big bet on that.
Because I mean, I was just, it's frightening to me that people will vote people in. I mean, he's still the Senate Majority Leader. He's not just the senator. He's the Senate Majority Leader.
How about our President of the United States? How much competency is there now?
But see, I don't know that he's... I mean, they asked Mitch McConnell, are you going to run again? And he couldn't speak. The woman had to come in. This is the Senate Majority Leader.
Well, the Senate Majority Leader is not using a teleprompter either. Our President is.
I wish he would if we'd stop all this talk.
But the point is, you're right. I think that you're right. See, and that's a good point you went back to, because you went back to the point of the fact that it is up to the voters to do what this Democratic Republic was designed to do, and that is to filter out that stuff through the vote of the individual person.
But just on this point, because, you know, he'll either run again or he won't. And he'll win. I think he will win. And we'll discuss that as time goes on. But
he's going to buy me a Big Mac.
we'll bet a Big Mac. We'll do that. But the point is, why after two freezes now and easy questions? And they're not freezes where he had to think. They're freezes where a woman had to come in.
They need to set him down.
Don't make him resign. I mean, you voted him in. Finish his term if he wants to. But why are the Republicans leaving him as the Senate Majority Leader? Why?
Because they probably feel that you got to understand something. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or Independent. There's so much deal making going on that you're going to have to shift the field before you figure out what you're doing. This isn't something you can just do and drop on a dime. There's so many deals and flipping in the air that they've got to get all their ducks in a row before they do anything. And that's just the bottom line in politics.
But would you want this guy negotiating?
No.
That's what. Do they want him negotiating?
I don't
for
think
that?
He is.
Well, then we got a problem because then there's some stuff going on behind the scenes.
Well, I don't think that our president's running the country either. I really don't believe.
Well,
that.
I understand. And listen, Dianne Feinstein is not in good shape. I'm not saying
this is a Democrat or Republican issue.
It's not,
and I'm not making it that. But what I'm saying is we have several in leadership right now that have no business.
Oh.
How long was Byrd there? Remember?
But, you know, Byrd was competent toward the end. I mean, the last year, maybe he had some health problems, but he could still talk. He could still argue. He could still feel. I don't care if you're 95. If you can still do it, do it.
Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's his last year of his presidency.
But this man is having, or at least stop putting him on television.
Yeah,
stop doing that.
They haven't learned that on either side.
Well, I just don't understand. We're getting another call here this morning.
Uh-oh,
if you want to hear the call, who knows where this is coming from. Go ahead, caller.
I think what she was meaning, Scott, just in like the Senate and the Congress, because that Feinstein, they said, I don't know if she's in her 90s, they said that her staff is making her decisions, and that's not right. And that guy from Pennsylvania that had that stroke or something, he couldn't talk. And then Biden just lately, he was giving that guy that veteran. And he just walked off the stage, and he looks like he don't know where he's going.
Caller,
an addiction, and for anybody to even say anything, he needed to be given a competency.
Caller, hold on. I did not mean this to be a political conversation. I meant this to be a competency conversation, and I understand you ran off three Democrats there. I get what's going on, and I understand that. People are passionate about politics. I don't think she's talking about politics.
She's talking about these people in general.
You could tell there's something wrong with
right,
them.
Whether it's McConnell or anyone.
Right, but
I don't care if he's black or white or red or green, and I don't care if he's a Democrat or Republican. Would you want your governor to do that? No, it's not what it is. You could tell there's something wrong with him.
No, but all
he
I'm saying...
And then all these other people, they're doing the same thing. When you can get up there and make a speech and you don't... And stuff, and you can tell you're with it. When you can't tell you're not with it, these people... They don't need staff to be making their decisions for.
And I think people know
there's something wrong there, and they don't do nothing about it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think the point that Scott was making that makes sense to all of this is that we need to, as citizens, when we see someone is like that, we need to make sure that we don't, one, reelect them, and two, that we step up as individuals because we have that right. We're the ones that they're supposed to be working for us. We're the ones that should stand up and say, no, he needs to be out of there. He needs to be sat down. And we don't seem to do that. And we just leave them in play, even though they may be a shadow politician.
And by the way, the citizens of Pennsylvania voted Warnock in over Dr. Oz. So there you go.
I know it, and this voting stuff, but the thing I'm saying, I don't care if they're in their 30s, 50s, 80s, or 90s. Some people can do the stuff, and some can't. And when you see them having trouble, and I guess they go every day to that job and stuff, the one that just froze, he doesn't need to be there. I don't know if he's Republican
or
Democrat.
That's up to his...
I could care less.
See, that's
and
where I think...
Somebody mentioned something. Oh, you're mentioning a Democrat, but you go to the Republicans, you can just throw them under the bus all the
time. Now, see, there we're getting to the... So that's the whole issue I was talking about earlier.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone.
It's like one-sided, but no, it's everybody.
Hold the phone.
When you see they've got a problem, they're representing you, get them out.
I agree with you, and here's the bottom line. Let me just clear this. The bottom line is this. Some people need to take some personal responsibility for their own physical health. If they can't do that, those around them that are in positions of authority and leadership need to make sure that they step down or set back. And the voters need to back it up with saying we're not going to tolerate this out of the people that we elect. And if we do that across the board, it's going to take care of the problem with Republicans and Democrats or anyone in leadership. In corporate America, if you had a CEO doing this stuff, he'd be out of there the next day. And we need to look more at our government in a more sensible way. And I think the conversation, basically, we really were having a conversation about competency
and whether they're Democrat or Republican, we all know, all of us know, there are people right now in both sides of the party in office that are not competent to be there. And as Americans, I was thinking about this morning, and it's kind of interesting. I remember when we used to look at some of the crazy leaders in government, like Idi Amin, you remember him, and some of the crazy ones out there. We think, how in the world do these countries have these people in office that aren't competent? And I'm so glad I'm in America. And unfortunately, I'm starting to see some of the same things here. And I wonder if the world isn't looking at us and saying, you know, we're turning into the third world country.
Well, and I think the problem here is, and I think the reason why somebody who's clearly, and God bless him, I hope he is okay, Mitch McConnell having these problems, which we're seeing the forefront on. And the reason this became a bigger story, by the way, is because somebody in his own party said the Senate was a nursing home and also said that people needed competency. That's one of the reasons we're having this discussion. But the point
Nikki
is...
Nikki may have some truth to her statement.
She may have. She very well may have. But the point of this whole thing is that I think that's why he is able to stay, because when somebody says, boy, there's something going on there, something wrong, somebody says, well, but there's something wrong over there, there's something wrong over there, there's something wrong over there.
Well, we need to fix it.
Let's fix it.
As American people that stand up and say, we're not going to deal with this. See, there's the problem. The American people have lost their backbone.
But I don't, just vote them out.
We've lost our backbone.
Like I said, I'm not saying you should vote Mitch McConnell out. I'm saying just, I don't think he should be made to leave because people vote for him. And that's why I think I'll get a Big Mac.
I think that his family needs to surround him and say, come on, Mitch, let's go home.
But they don't.
No, they didn't.
They won't even tell him to step down from the majority position.
Well, like I told you, there's too many irons in a fire. They got to figure out which one's burning the hottest first.
I guess they... Well, and it, does age... Now, see, this is maybe...
Mandatory retirement.
Well, does age mean anything when you vote for somebody? Let's say you really like two people. You really like them both, but one is 70 and one is 30. Do you vote for the 30-year-old just because they're 30?
I vote for the 70-year-old because he's had more experience.
I see. But what Nikki Haley's pretty close to saying here is that that's nursing home age.
Well, I guess. For some it is and some it's not. I just had a friend pass away a few months ago in his 90s, and he was more spry than I am.
Exactly. And, that
and
becomes,
brighter than I am.
That becomes
so.
What we'll take a quick call here because we only got 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, the real problem is that most voters do not even know who Mitch McConnell is. They've probably never seen him. They couldn't recognize him. They're voting for the R or the D.
And there's part of our
problem. Herein lies the problem.
You know, I don't... Sometimes I hate to say this, but to be a voter, you ought to have to know something about the gut, you know, about something.
We
know,
wish voters were more informed.
You should.
Hey, we're running out of time. Thanks for calling.
But some people would rather vote for a brain dead Democrat than a Republican if they had their faculties. So, and vice versa.
And vice versa. So. All right, Pastor, we got 3 minutes left to wrap up this entertaining edition, caller friendly edition.
Wasn't it really?
Well, I always said if you ever wonder if people are listening, stumble onto a topic that people want to speak
a
about.
A hot button issue. Yep. Hey, thank you, callers, all of you today. God bless you.
Yep, we got 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Hey, a couple things real quick. We have our Day in the Park coming up at Community Christian Fellowship. It'll be first Sunday in October. I think that's the first this year in Prospect Park. It'll be in the afternoon starting at about 2:30, and we have entertainment and food and games. Nothing costs anyone a dime. We'll have several bounce houses. We're just going to have a great time, so please come to that in Prospect Park. It'll be a hayride. Bring your kids. Very kid-friendly. Very senior-friendly, too. Get Mom out of the nursing home for a day and bring her. Nikki, did you hear me?
Go get your senator and take him out of the nursing home. And bring him on over.
But, no, we also have Team Kids for Christ starting to kick off, which will be twice a month. And that's for kids from preschool all the way up through fifth grade. I have pizza with Pastor with the kids in the high school. A lot going on at Community Christian Fellowship. Give us a call, 740-494-2222, or look us up at prospectccf.com, and we'd love to hear from you if you want any time, so if things are going on. God bless you guys. Have a good week, and you know what? Let's all take it. If we all took personal responsibility and we all put others before ourselves, there's two things that we wouldn't need. We wouldn't need the media doing things for us, and we certainly would not need as many fences around our yard.
Well, I just think Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever you are doctor, lawyer, teacher. I just hope that you are in good health. I mean, we want everybody to be in good health, and sometimes being in these high-pressure jobs does not work for you.
Stress hurts. Yeah. But anyway, we wish Mitch McConnell and I wish Joe Biden all of them the best. I truly do. I hope they all come to know Jesus personally, but that's how I feel, and I think we'd be a better country if they did.
And you know, there are no age limits on anything, so I guess do what you want and people will make their decision.
God bless you all.
All right, 9:15 to 10 a.m. every Friday morning is when this show airs live, and you can catch it on the website WWGH1071.com. It's the first one under Program Archives, and we'll come back and do it again next Friday. Always entertaining, always fun. Don't miss an episode. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed, and the laugh